Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 12:23 p.m. That is Pacific Standard Time. Today is February 13th. Well, when we look at the S&P 500 today, it was certainly in positive territory, though not quite at the upper side of its range at the time of recording. But the more important fact is that it is about 45 points away from the peaks that we saw in October, November, and December. And that is where the sequence of lower rally highs resides. Obviously, we had a very clear acceleration downwards in December, and we've had an equally impressive rebound. The rebound has occurred somewhat slower than the decline, but there's nothing unusual about that. Markets definitely fall faster than they rise. But people have got to be thinking about 2800 as a bit of a psychological Rubicon, and they would certainly prefer to see someone else pay to be the first person to buy above that level. So I do think that we are at a point where it is increasingly likely that we're going to get at least some pause and consolidation. When we look at some of the major shares, then Amazon, for example, had broken down last week. It bounced back yesterday, and it is now back above this $1,600 area. This consolidation has been going on now for over a month, and so far it has been very steady. That's in fact quite unusual for the chart pattern that we've had since September, where there have been some very acute bouts of volatility with very large peak to trough swings. So if Amazon can resolve this little range with an upward break, well, then that would be very positive. But there is a bit of a downward bias to the trading over the last 4 weeks. So we can't really rule out the potential that we are in for an uptick in volatility. Then we have Apple, which has lagged on the way up and was leading on the way down. And the rally that we've had so far has been pretty modest. So it has got really a lot of work to do to really demonstrate that the lows are in fact in. They are prepping an Amazon subscription service for news. I guess they're trying to be the Spotify of news. But that's not really quite ready yet. Now, when we look at the share, it has been prone to these big pullbacks, and generally speaking, it has taken a few years for the share to recover following one of these pullbacks. So I don't believe that it's going to be Apple is going to be leading us up and out of this corrective phase. And therefore, I think we do have to pay attention to shares like Amazon and Google. Google had the most consistent trend in the world until we saw it have a somewhat bigger pullback in January of last year. It has subsequently held the $1,000 area. And as long as it holds that, I think people are going to be relatively sanguine. But if it fails to hold this current rally and then sustains a move below 1,000, well, then I think people are going to become righteously a bit more wary of supporting some of these high growth markets. I'm posting an article today about the rising delinquency rates in auto loans, and that is going to be an issue at some point. But right now, unemployment is in fact so low that there are more open jobs than there are people to fill them. So that's really a very clear indication of just how tight the US employment market is. It also is a factor that is, I think, acting as a buffer against some of the issues that are starting to emerge out there on the less than prime market. Auto loans are one of those problems, and student debt is another. So eventually we're going to see that credit tightens up again, and when it does, and not just tight for the space of a few weeks, but rather that we do get tighter credit conditions that persist for a while, well, then that's when we're going to see the rising delinquency rates on these auto loans and also on student debt become real problems. But when, for example, we look at SLM Corp, which is the education equivalent of Fannie and Freddie for housing, then it has bounced back in very emphatic fashion over the course of the last 5 weeks, and it was in additional positive territory in here today. We haven't seen a rebound like this since 2016. And when we look at Credit Acceptance Corp, well, that is a company that is almost a pure play on non-bank auto financing, and it is still trending higher in a reasonably consistent manner, although it is certainly off its peak in here this week. But it would need to sustain a move below the trend mean to really begin to suggest that the rising number of delinquencies in the auto sector is in fact becoming an issue. There is an additional point that is worth considering, and it is that subprime debt was a major contributing factor in the credit crisis, because basically poor people with bad credit histories were being offered a great deal of cash to go out and buy houses, and housing prices were rising. Well, we have a mini version of that going on in the auto sector right now. That the price of second-hand vehicles has been trending higher for the last 4 or 5 years, not least because there has been abundant credit available for people to go out and buy cars, and most particularly second-hand cars or lightly used cars. Well, those loans are starting to be defaulted on. But it is a testament to the reduced purchasing power of the subprime market that they can only now start buy cars or have been loaded up with student debt rather than the much bigger expense of buying a house. That's the clearest testimony to the fact that it is wealthy savers have been the clearest beneficiaries of quantitative easing and extraordinary monetary policy in response to the credit crisis. The fact that Ted Cruz in Texas today saying that they should tax buybacks is a populist, appeal to that exact same fact, that it is companies have been buying back their shares because it is much more tax efficient to do so. That is one of the primary points that Warren Buffett has been making. The Daily Journal meeting, in fact, is tomorrow here in Los Angeles. Charlie Munger usually turns up, and I certainly know that he's going to be there tomorrow. He was rather curmudgeonly at the one last year. I'm probably not going to attend this one, but I will post whatever summary somebody who does attend, probably on Business Insider, tomorrow. When we think about where are we in terms of this market cycle, then we are late in the cycle. One of the reasons that that highly defensive companies are doing so much better right now is because they are right now getting pricing power, there are more people working. There are people that have benefited from the tax cuts. Then there are You have an economic expansion that has been going on for a while, and inflationary pressures have been rising, and they can use any one of those excuses to raise prices, and that has been comparatively effective. When we look at companies like McDonald's or Coca-Cola, then they have held up really quite impressively, and Coca-Cola's back testing its peak. Pepsi is another one of these types of companies. When we look, for example, in Europe, Nestle is, they've changed the ticker, excuse me, and Nestle is at a new all-time high in here right now. So what this is, I think, starting to highlight is that we are getting demand for highly defensive sectors, and that's generally symptomatic of people with reduced appetite for risk. So that's a further, I think, example of a risk-off mentality among some of the larger investors. That's despite the fact that we've had a really impressive rebound on stock markets over the last 6 weeks. The big question for the vast majority of people is what's going to happen in terms of central bank liquidity. And the Federal Reserve is prepping the plans for ending its quantitative tightening policy. So they've already shaved about $400 billion off. And considering the quantity of money that banks are holding on reserve with them, and that they are in fact paying an interest rate for those reserves, the end of quantitative tightening, well, one of the first things they could do is stop paying an interest rate on those reserves, and that would send money back out and into the economy. Quite whether they have any appetite for that is another story entirely. Well, one of the, I think, primary factors is in terms of central bank liquidity is not so much what the Federal Reserve is going to do, but rather what are other central banks going to do. The USA today is not the epicenter of risk. I think that is perhaps the most important takeaway from what we see on the international stage. When we look at the health of the US economy, the fact that the banks are relatively unlevered, that the consumer has seen at or it is primarily it's the consumer has become unlevered. In the USA, it is the federal government that has got the biggest pile of debt that it's going to have to deal with. It is the clear risk is in government debt, but governments can print, and that is obviously not something that consumers can do. It's almost the exact opposite in Europe. The governments of Europe cannot print. The ECB has stopped printing new money, or at least they've told us that they have, and they are still abiding by this austerity program, which is directly linked to the ambition of bureaucrats to try and align debt to GDP ratios in order to deliver on a united Europe. The population of Europe has not been asked whether that is what they want, and there is nobody that is making the case very clear, but that is definitely what the austerity program is aimed at achieving. Well, that's why we have the rise of populism, and that is why you have such a mess in the banking sector. When we think about the fact that the European banks have been trending down for more than a year. They've been locked in a range for the better part of a decade, and that there is still a very clear sequence of lower major rally highs following the occasional medium-term rally. That is a clear testament to just how big the issues are. The fact that Santander yesterday skipped redeeming its perpetual bond and is just going to roll it over, not least because to refinance it, they would have had to pay more money. That's the kind of thing that does not, I think, ameliorate it or the borrower to creditors. It's also a testament to just how much pressure some of these banks are. And Santander is probably one of the better performing European banks. Well, Europe has got this rise of populism, slowing growth, and then that's both an internal and an external factor, that Germany in particular is at risk from slowing demand for exports, most particularly from or into the EU, but also they are highly dependent on what exactly the Chinese are going to do in terms of stimulus. Well, the A-share market today was in positive territory, and it has now successfully broken through the 2,800-point level. So that is positive. That is, in fact, what I think a lot of investors have been waiting for, at least some evidence that there is somebody willing to buy mainland shares. 2,500 points was the upper side of the base formation back between 2012 and 2014. This rally today has broken the sequence of lower rally highs. It's now testing the region of the trend mean. If it can both hold the advance and sustain a move above the trend mean, well, then we're back in a trending environment. And we haven't had an uptrend in Chinese shares in at least a year. The big issue for China is obviously going to be circling around the trade war with the USA. Then, of course, there is the fact that the Chinese administration has been leaning on the shadow banking sector and leaning on the corporate sector for much of the last 18 months. At the same time, they have been supporting the conventional banking sector, but the conventional banks have now returned to a position of outperformance that it is now pressuring the upper side of its range, and it is above the trend mean. So we are seeing leadership from the banking sector in terms of the A share market. Then, when we look at the H shares in Hong Kong, then they have sustained the move above the trend mean and has now cleared the 11,000 point level. If we zoom in and just look at the last year, 11,000 has been an area of resistance since July, and now we're starting to see the market breaking higher. The totem for the Chinese market has been Tencent. It clearly accelerated in 2017. Then it experienced a swingeing pullback, and now it is trading back above the trend mean. So I think it is reasonable to conclude we are on a recovery trajectory, although there is certainly a short-term overbought condition right now. What all of this suggests is that investors are willing to bet that there is going to be a deal between the USA and China. Then there is also the possibility that the Chinese administration is going to adopt more fiscal and monetary stimulus, and that would also be positive for the stock market. Generally speaking, bull markets in Chinese shares are state-sponsored, so we are going to have to see some form of state sponsorship in order for this market to really get going. But that is the other point that people are more than aware of with regard to China, is that when the market does start to move, then it can move really very quickly. So this is, I think, an area that is worth considering. That says nothing about the standards of governance in China. Standards of governance are deteriorating. That is what that really suggests, is that now China is more of a trader's market than an investor's market. It is not the kind of market that you can simply put your money in and forget about. Whereas there will be trading opportunities where depressed prices create value. And I think that that is potentially now what we are seeing with the Chinese market. That's also very important for what the outlook is for Europe, because Europe is very dependent on its exports to China, and so is Australia. The fact that Australia is now leaning on the housing market and has introduced measures to try and contain speculation, that is weighing on the property price. But the ASX 200 rallied really very impressively last week. It's held on to all of its advance in here this week, and this is back in a demand-dominated environment. It's not a particularly consistent trend, but buying the dips has been perhaps the best strategy over the course of the last decade. Then, when we look at the Aussie dollar, it was off its highs in here today. It's still holding the sequence of lower rally highs, and that 70-cent level is an awfully big psychological level. If it fails here, then it's going to resume this downtrend, and there has been a bit of a hiatus over the course of the last few months, and it would be, I think, logical to conclude that that would be over if we see a sustained move below 70 cents. That would certainly open up the way towards a retest of the 2008 and 2009 lows, and that's a lot closer to 60 cents. The New Zealand dollar, however, was rallying in here today, and it is so far holding its own, and it is above the peak that we, or excuse me, the low that we saw towards the end of last year. So the New Zealand Central Bank has said that they are not going to cut interest rates, whereas quite likely that the Australia or the RBA is going to cut interest rates. What's also, I think, worth highlighting is that the New Zealand stock market has got one of the most consistent trends of any in the world. And if we do get continued resilience in the New Zealand dollar, then that's likely to continue to attract foreign investment. The other currency that has been conspicuously steady is the Korean won. It's gone nowhere at all over the course of the last 6 months. And the KOSPI index is now right in the region of the trend mean. I think South Korea is an interesting, I guess, test case because or a petri dish because it's a relatively small place, but it's got the 11th largest economy in the world. It's very export oriented, and generally speaking, those are very consumer oriented goods it's exporting, and then it's got very close proximity to China. And they've been raising the minimum wage aggressively over the last 18 months, and it is contributing to rising unemployment. So that is, I think, something that should be paid attention to. The fact is that the Korean economy contracted in the last quarter of 2017, and that was a lead indicator for the wider economy. It just tends to be a very sensitive economy to the global outlook. The fact that rising unemployment there, that is something that we should be paying attention to, not least because it's tied to higher wages. Well, we have these populist movements left and right that are calling for higher wages, and what that is only likely to do is to encourage people to adopt automation. So, certainly, I think that there is potential here for stock markets to do better if China starts to do better. That should act as a tailwind for Europe. It should also act as a tailwind for the Australian markets. The big question, of course, is whether it can turn that trend around, or at least continue to expand the central bank balance sheets. But the other point, of course, is that the strength of the dollar does tend to have a contractionary effect on that total central bank balance sheets chart. And the euro today was down by 60 ticks, so it has completely unwound yesterday's rebound. There is a simple fact of the matter that Europe needs a weaker currency more than the USA does. And that is likely to be the most important factor in this trend, which has lost momentum over the course of the last 6 months, but is still trending downwards. So I think it is quite likely we're going to see a weaker euro from here. Then the South African rand, which had steadied up over the course of the last few weeks, was weaker in a more dynamic manner in here today. So it has now failed to sustain the move stronger than 13.5, and that is looking likely that it is going to go back and test the sequence of the dollar's lower rally highs. So I think the more important point here is that it is back above four. The dollar is back above 14. It's back above the trend mean, and upside follow through next week would really suggest that the period of strength for the rand is ending. This the rolling blackouts from Eskom is obviously something that is going to both weigh on economic activity but also on investor sentiment. Then the Brazilian market has been pausing over the course of the last few weeks, and it's relatively unchanged in here today. This pause is at least partially unwinding the overbought condition relative to the trend mean, and as long as it is trading above the trend mean, I think we can continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Then when we look at what's going on in India, well, the Indian market was down again today, so this is the fourth consecutive day on the downside, but again not in a particularly dynamic manner. Where we have had some fireworks was in the oil market, with oil prices breaking up and out of this short-term range, and then coffee breaking below a dollar. And that's a rather substantial move, considering that $1 has been an area of support on multiple occasions, and most particularly all the way back from 2008 and onwards. So it failed to sustain the move above the trend mean, but that was the biggest rally we'd seen in quite some time. coffee is going to have to rally and rally impressively soon if it's going to really confirm that a dollar is still an area of support. If it fails at this level, well, then we're talking about a resumption of the downtrend, and it's been really a very long time. We have to go all the way back to 2004 that coffee prices traded below a dollar for any kind of sustained period. So that would be a very clear change in the overall trend. When we look at what's going on in terms of the gold price, gold was down a bit in here today, and it reversed an earlier decline. So I think part of the reason for that is because of the rebound that we've had in the dollar. Silver prices were down in a bit more of a dynamic manner, and this is unwinding the short-term overbought condition. When we look at that on a weekly basis, well, we can see that it is right in the region of the trend mean right now, but $15 is going to be a big level or a psychological level to demonstrate that silver is capable of holding this breakout. And then when we look at what's going on in terms of the bond market, the 10-year yield was up another almost 2 basis points in here today, and this is the third consecutive day on the upside. If this rally continues to hold, and most particularly if it can sustain a move above 2.75%, well, then we'll be talking about a higher reaction low. This is all happening within the context of a market that failed to sustain the move above 3% and is trading below its trend mean. If this is a higher reaction low, then it will eventually sustain a move back above the trend mean. The fact is that we had a substantial run-up in bond prices during the equity market sell-off at the end of last year, with the outlook for stock markets continuing to improve, with a lot of the things that people have been worried about starting to abate, and the prospect of a Chinese stimulus getting increasingly closer, then the question of whether people will continue to support the bond market when they're not entirely fearful, I think is a big old question. But as long as it is sustaining a move below the trend mean, then we are still in a demand-dominated environment for U.S. treasuries. So this is a rather do-or-die moment. It's either going to fail to sustain this downward break in terms of the yield, or we're going to see it go straight back up. If it starts moving back above the trend mean, well, then that is going to bring the outlook for or at least bond investors will begin to be pricing in the potential for additional rate hikes, and that is probably something that would start to weigh on the stock market. So I do think we are at a rather critical juncture here, particularly for the primary stock market indices, considering that they are testing previous areas of resistance. And considering that we have had such an impressive rebound, I think it is quite likely we're going to get some pause in consolidation. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.